Annalisa Bokeen, and we are two brown chicks changing the face of therapy on both sides of the couch.
I wasn't allowed to say it today. Both sides of the couch. Thank y'all for joining us. As you can see, we have a wonderful guest today, Danielle, representing Lyra Health, and we are going to be chatting all about EAPs and insurance, which is something we kind of discussed before, but as most of you know that watch the show or listen to the show, either one, Alisa and I are private pay therapists, and so we've kind of shared our opinions on, you know, insurance versus private pay. We talked a little bit about EAPs, especially when we talk about how to find a therapist. A lot of times people ask us like, well, where do you start and how do you find a therapist? And we're very big on if you have a job, if you have benefits, start there if you've never done therapy before. So we're going to have a little bit of a conversation with someone who actually knows a lot more than we do about the benefits and how they work. So thanks for joining us, Danielle. We appreciate it.
Yes. Thank y'all for having me.
Of course. Absolutely. How long have you been?
I've been with Lyra since September of last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. We appreciate you coming on. Like we said, one of the biggest questions we get is, how do you start looking for a therapist? And we, you know, say, go with your benefits. But people don't always know that, one, they even have EAP benefits. So can you talk a little bit about the difference between EAP and insurance benefits?
Yeah, sure. So I guess I'll also kind of to follow up about like how long I've been at Lyra, just talking a little bit about what I do at Lyra too, so I can give some context on kind of the perspective that I'm coming from. So I started off at Lyra as a clinical manager, where I was kind of just working with other providers who were seeing the clients that come through Lyra's platform. And then now I'm kind of shifting more into really focusing on the diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives as it relates to the clinical aspects of the company. So this is a conversation that I think about from in terms of access to care, which I care deeply about. And it's something that I think is very relevant to communities of color in terms of just access to care in general, not just mental health care, but mental health isn't necessarily completely different from other forms of healthcare. I think it's still a lot of the same through line of that usually communities of color don't have the same access to care. So I think that was one thing that brought me to Lyra for sure, and definitely one thing that made me want to shift more into this different role, because I care so much about making sure that we get the mental health treatment that we need, and not only that we get what we need, but we get good quality mental health care as well. So to your question about like what is the difference between for providers, I think you're asking, the difference between working with an EAP and an insurance company.
And maybe we could do both. Maybe it could be for providers and then also for people that are seeking the benefits.
Sure. So I'll start with the client first. So for clients, I think the benefit of going through your EAP is kind of to your point that you both kind of hinted at, is that like it's a great place to start. I think the drawback to insurance is like, yes, while you may have maybe more freedom and like who you can choose, that also comes with labor in terms of going through the process and all the different systems and policies and processes that are set up in order for you to just get access to care. So I think that through my own experience and through the experience that I've heard from clients is that going through insurance companies can just be cumbersome for that reason. And so I think the EAP takes away a lot of that. In terms of just, you usually have somebody who's on site, probably with where you're working, or with Lyra, it's that you actually get to have also that benefit of the insurance company of like, you get to choose, you get to have an option of therapist to choose from, and your employer is paying for that. So another barrier to care is cost. So your insurance company is probably going to have you pay a copay every time you see your therapist, or depending on how your insurance plan is set up, you might have to pay the full price until you meet your deductible. All those things and all that language doesn't exist in EAP world. So it's free, it's covered by your company, and you know it's also just a great place to start. So I'll leave that there for clients. In terms of providers, I think that what's great about, I think it's similar. I think a lot of the times it's a parallel process. And so I think that with EAPs, you're also not having to deal with different systems, policies, paperwork, all these other things that you have to deal with the insurance company. And I think usually if you're a provider working with the EAP, I think depending on how it's set up, you know, you could be someone who's working there full time. You could just be someone who's contracted. So I think it also has that flexibility there too. So I think that that's why it's a good benefit for providers to also connect with EAPs if they can. It's a good, usually it's a good steady stream of referrals. The kind of referrals that you might want and are looking for. So I think you just get to have more autonomy in terms of like, here's the kind of referrals I want. Do I want to do it part-time? Do I want to do it full-time? So yeah, and I'm all about provider autonomy and like you doing what's best for you, particularly providers of color.
Mm-hmm. I know, yeah, right.
That part, thank you.
I think when we talk about like, especially the thought of going into private practice, a lot of people are just scared about that piece. Like, how do I get clients though? Like all the rest of this, I can build a website or I can, you know, create profiles and I can find a place to see people, but how do I get these clients? And so it sounds like with EAPs, I mean, both of them, in EAPs and insurance are about stream of clients, right? You get the clients, you get the referrals, but it sounds like the EAPs, which is one of the reasons why I never did insurance, was the one, the horror stories you hear about insurance, but also the paperwork, right? It's always like, you have to fill out this paperwork. You have to make sure that you're doing it correctly. If you don't do it correctly, you may not get paid and da, da, da. And it seems like EAPs just make it a little bit easier for the client to get with the therapist, as well as for therapists to be able to, you know, see clients and get paid without some of that stress of like having to diagnose and have the proof that this person has this diagnosis and all of that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And so important, right? So important. One, because one of the biggest concerns that we often hear from people is, one, they don't always know the options that are out there for them to actually be able to access a therapist. You know, a lot of people just have this idea that it's just so far out of their reach, they wouldn't even be able to access. Or I hear a lot of frustration about the limited types of therapists they might find in network if they are trying to go through their insurance company. And again, being one of, you know, on the other side and having to do the billing and all that, just the cumbersome part that you're talking about of like, oh my goodness. And what we know about many of us in this field is a lot of people don't have necessarily a really strong business background. And so yes, they're excellent clinicians. And so many of us dream of opening our private practices. And then it's like, it's not field of dreams, right? It's not build it and they will come, right? And so having the flexibility of signing up with an EAP, it really speaks to the marketing piece, right? Like it helps to facilitate the marketing piece that you're that we really need to focus on, especially at the beginning.
Yes, absolutely. Totally second all of that.
Right. Yeah. Yes. So one of the things that often I will hear other clinicians' voice as well as clients' voice, the concerns is the limited number of sessions they might get with an insurance company. And I know that all EAPs are different, but how does an EAP determine how many therapy sessions a client will get?
Yeah. So I think I'll speak just for Lear. I don't want to speak for all EAPs because Lear is probably the first EAP that I've really been connected with. I will say before Lear, most of my work has been in the VA. So where a lot of these things don't apply either. but with Lear, my understanding is that we have a very close relationship with the HR benefits teams of the companies that we're working with. So I think it is very much so like, here's what we would like to do with Lear. Here's where what we offer. And it's very much so this conversation, I think, with HR benefits of like, what's going to be best for your employee population. And I think what's also beautiful about the way that Lear works with companies is that it's like, there seems to be this appreciation for, you know, times are changing and people might need different things at different times. And so it's constantly kind of talking about like, what can we offer our employees? And is there an opportunity to offer something different or offer something more? Which I don't think happens in that way with that much intentionality when insurance companies are involved.
Yeah, that's so true. And I think that's one of the greatest frustrations as a clinician, because what we know is that, yes, there are many models for therapy that tell you, you know, stage one, stage two, stage three, but, you know, humans and our healing process doesn't happen in such a linear way. And so the more restrictions that you have on how to get a client there, I love what you said is we're regularly, you know, getting in touch and reassessing. I mean, 2020, people have a lot of needs right now. So I love that you all are really taking that into consideration.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
My understanding, because I've worked with EAPs in different capacities, and I'll talk about later. Lyra is the first EAP that I'm actually on, I guess, the panel. I don't know how you say it, but I'm one of the therapists for Lyra. But I, before that, I had worked with EAPs in a different capacity, as far as like, I would go into companies, I would do critical incidents. And so I would go into companies when there was an incident and speak to the companies or do like on-site sessions, which was great. It was a great experience. But so that was with a lot of different EAPs, and I was working with the, a company as a contractor, but then seeing like the number of sessions they would get. And then when I started working with Lyra, and I was like, why y'all giving so many sessions? Because most EAPs, it's like three, maybe six. But typically it's like 3 to 5, because they want it to be very solution focused and quick and like move on, you know, whether that is move on to, whether that's move on to insurance, or they want you to just kind of fix the issue and be done with it, you know? And so Lyra seems to really be giving a lot more time to actually work through the issues. And of course it is very, they want you to do research-based therapy and all of that, but it's not so like, all right, you have this issues. It doesn't feel like it's triage. Like it's like get in, get out. It can feel like you can actually build a relationship with the clients and really feel like you, because we know that relationships are the biggest part of the therapeutic outcome, right? And so when you're telling someone to go in for 3 sessions and be done with it, it's like, oh, okay, well, it kind of takes some time to build that rapport.
Right. And how invalidating to have to feel like you come into therapy wanting to get help, which I think is a very vulnerable process, to then be told, like, I'm going to take your problem, shove it into 3 sessions and tell you when you're done. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that this is all I can do for you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's really invalidating. Yeah.
Right. And it truly does help with, as a clinician as well. So you don't feel like you're just like, okay, I gotta give you everything as quick as possible and get you out of here. You know, it makes you feel more confident because we know what we're doing, but it can be difficult when it's like smushed down into these few sessions. What do you think is the greatest misconceptions about EAPs?
I think there are a few, but I think the one that impacts probably so clients the most is probably this an understandable and totally valid concern about what role is my employer playing in this service that I'm getting that's through my employer. I think that makes total sense, especially considering the amount of oppression and discrimination that can happen within workplaces and how that pans out and turns out for people. I think the mistrust is valid. And so I definitely empower clients whenever I'm working with them through Lyra to like, ask me any questions that you have about this, please. I want to answer those questions. I want to give you accurate information about what this is going to be like and inform consent. So definitely for clients or those who are out there thinking about getting involved in your EAP, and that's been a barrier of like, I don't know, I've had not great experiences at my workplace. I don't know about doing something with them that they're offering. I think just know that like it's a separate entity from your, like, yes, it's a service that they, your employer is offering, but it's a separate entity. And so your personal information in terms of like you, your outcome data or anything like that, or what you share in therapy, that in and of itself would never be shared with your employer. What is shared is aggregate information. So we're talking about maybe thousands of data points. We might say that in general, out of the 3,000 employees of your company that have reached out to Lyra, most of them are dealing with depression. That might be the kinds of things that are shared with your employer, but very individual data that can be tied back to you, the individual, just doesn't happen that way. So that's one big misconception, I think, on the client end that I spend time and dedicate time to talking about at the beginning of therapy with clients. I think for providers, I think the biggest misconception, but I don't even know if it's a misconception to the point that we're talking about here, is that they won't be able to do good, valuable work because of the limited amount of sessions. Mm-hmm. And so I actually think that, I don't know if that's a misconception. I think that that's probably like true for some EAPs, that is absolutely a fact. Like they do offer a limited amount of sessions. And so I think that that's actually what sets Lyra apart, is that it really is this balance of like, we want to offer definitely more while also holding that we know that we don't necessarily want clients to stay in therapy forever. Like that, I think that's just like an ethical principle on our part too, of just like, that's not the goal. The point is that they come in with things that they want to work on and that we see them get better over time, with the understanding that that happens in more than three sessions. So really trying to strike that balance. So I think that's what sets Lyra apart in that way.
I actually appreciate the idea of sharing the aggregate information with the employer, right? Like if like this is what your employees are going through right now, like these are some of the different themes that continue to come up, and how then as an employer that information is so valuable. So how, you know, especially if they are contracting with Lyra, who clearly so much of the way that you approach the work is really client-centered, right? Like, what is it that they really need? And so I'm going to make the assumption that these employers are really caring about their employees. What a wonderful way for them to be able to create different programs within, you know, their own company to really help to address some of these concerns. And really thinking about, again, sometimes there is this disconnect between the employers and their employees, and to really understand what they're going through so that you can get the best out of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I also think, you know, we talked about misconceptions, and again, this is from my own personal experience when thinking about insurance, yes, but even EAPs, for providers, the pay is, I guess, again, not a misconception because it's kind of real, but
exactly.
But that's why sometimes people are like, I'm going to stay away from that because the pay is just not great. And I will tell you that Lyra is not that way. We can get to that later. So we could definitely get to that later.
Yeah. So we're talking a lot about the differences between Lyra and other EAPs. Working with them as long as you've been working, and the work that you do, and the values that you have personally also, what are you most proud of as far as what makes Lyra different than other EAPs?
Mm-hmm. I will say that I think there's a couple of things that I'm most proud of. One is, we've already talked about it, is that it is very much so client first. And I will say above and beyond that, because it's also a tech company, right? So Lyra sits at this intersection of mental health and technology. And I think what has really blown my mind, and I think I went into Lyra with kind of this like, I don't know, I'm coming from the VA, like this is a startup. Will tech actually value what mental health brings to this space, and like, will they have an understanding of kind of what it is that we do on our end? Because it just, in my mind, right, an assumption, a bias that I had was that tech is like this, you take the human out of it, and then like tech is just, you know, it's numbers and it's data and it's science. And I will say that working with those who are on like our product development teams and whatnot, like, they really do value this. And like, they really do, I think, have an appreciation for, we really want to help people, and we want to help people in this way. We think mental health is important. And so we want to dedicate all of our resources and all of our training in this area to create something that really is going to help a lot of people. So I think it is a mission-driven company that all parties are invested in this mission. And I just don't think that I've been in a space quite like that. So I would have to say that that's what I'm most proud of. And I'm proud of the ways in which that then kind of goes into various areas. So including the way that Lyra has showed up to this moment of just reckoning with racism and oppression in this country. So I think that that really is the core of Lyra, and that that is kind of what drives them and kind of dictates how Lyra as a company shows up in these spaces, whether it's for client care, whether it's for, you know, a variety of things. I think that that is the heart of it. And so I'm most proud of that.
I love that. I'm getting so hyped listening to this. I'm like, I need my Lyra t-shirt. I need to get out there.
You gotta represent.
I love this. I love it. Yeah, it's so important.
I think, and even what you said earlier about just having outcomes to be able to see the work that's being done, right? To be able to see how, because a lot of times I think employers, but even the therapist, because as a therapist, you get to like kind of see the outcomes, and it's not any like big major, but it's just like, I was here, now I'm here. You know, a lot of, we don't get that as providers. We don't, a lot of times we see clients and we think they're doing good, and then they just kind of disappear. And it's like, well, I hope they were good, you know? So it's awesome to be able to see that. But then we talk all the time about like just the importance of mental health in all areas of our lives. And so the fact that y'all are like, okay, we're going to work with you. We're happy that you want to bring us on, but that's also showing you what we're doing and how much mental health impacts your employees. And then even understanding how that may impact the outcomes that you want for your business. And so I think that that is such a huge thing to bring into this space that like mental health isn't always a part of or talked about or even acknowledged as like necessary and important. Because, you know, Lisa and I have talked before about like working with companies and about productivity and all that stuff and how mental health impacts all of that. So I just think it's amazing that that's a big part of what y'all do, is just having that data makes it real. Like, look at what the therapists and the mental health professionals are doing to help your employees.
Right. Yeah. And I love it because as a marriage and family therapists, we're trained to look at issues from a systemic point of view, and you all are really taking all of this into consideration. And I love that the employers are able to take a different perspective, like Ebony is saying, and really also begin to value mental health, not only as it pertains to our well-being, but also how, again, linking that to production.
So as everybody knows, at the beginning, our tagline is we are changing the face of therapy. And for us, that means we are trying to get more people of color, Black and Latinx people in therapy, but also becoming therapists. So we want to, you know how is Lyra changing the face of therapy and helping the field become more racially diverse?
Yeah, so that's definitely where that is the work that I care most about. And so I think there are a number of things that we're doing. Definitely one is just like giving me the space and the opportunity to actually influence these decisions that are made, because as we know, like, it matters who's in the room. It matters whose voices are there and whose voices aren't there. So I would say that I cannot speak for other companies and how they're structured and set up, but I do know that that is one thing. And I think it's one thing that people don't often think about is like, how are these companies structured and set up? And like, I get that you have this DE&I team, but like, is this team integrated at all levels of the company? Like, how does this even work? And so I think I appreciate that. I appreciate the intentional structure of the company, and that like, I'm given the power, the agency to say like, hey, we need to recruit here. My suggestion is this. So that's one thing for sure, is like, and recruitment, which I think everybody tends to talk about, right? Is like, I appreciate the unique things that we're trying to do around recruitment. And I think one thing that I'm really pushing is like relationship building, which I think is one thing that often gets lost in recruitment, is that it's kind of just like, we want you here, come apply, without really having built a relationship with these communities. So to a large degree, that's why I'm here with you. And I hope to come back and be here with you, because I hope to genuinely build a relationship around wanting to, because around a thing that we both and all care about. And so I think it's just, one, we're changing the way in which we approach that. And I really appreciate that. That resonates with me and my values. I think in terms of retention as well is something else that we're thinking about and really focusing on, and how can we create a community for providers? So like, Ebony, I think I heard you at the beginning, you were like, I mean, I'm on Lyra's panel and I wanted to be like, you're part of our network. You're part of our community. Like, you know, like,
it's different.
It's different. Yeah. And you know, it's like a panel, you know, like, you know, we, Part of what I do is also just thinking not just about the client, but like the provider. I do think that sometimes we often get lost in these conversations. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, yes, we need to be making a space for where providers feel like they are also welcomed, valued, appreciated, that we care about their growth, not just career-wise and CE trainings, but also just like a space for them to connect with each other and the personal aspects of what we do. It's hard. Mm-hmm. So definitely we recognize that in private practice, it can be really lonely. So I think we're really trying to get creative around how can we create a sense of community specifically for our providers who are contracted with us, and maybe connect them with other folks that are in our network that we know are near them. So that's kind of a direction that we're thinking about going. And then also in terms of clinical care. So, you know, I'm really dedicated and focused on how can we create opportunities for providers to learn more about treating different populations, things that we didn't always get training about, because let's be real, mental health didn't really care much about these specific populations. So like we have a lot of catching up to do if you weren't already in this space. And so I think it's more so like, let's just name it and name it for what it is and try to move forward with a different goal in mind and be intentional about it. So we have one Lyra ambassador. She wrote about her experience as a Black female therapist with Lyra that you can definitely check out. I can send a link and add that to the podcast notes. But in that blog post, she talks about just the specific different types of like CEs that we're having. Like we just had a CE around intersectionality and how do you take that concept and apply it to case formulation and how you think. Yeah, okay, I hope you enjoyed it.
I got my CE.
yeah, good, great. And we have another one coming up just about like the intersection of gender identity, sexual orientation, and race, ethnicity, and like how all those things intersect and how do you work with those intersecting identities in therapy in a way that is healing, in a way that you're not engaging in more oppression that they already experience out in the outside world. Like how can we make the therapeutic space a different type of microcosm? And so like, these are the type of things that we're doing. Like, you know, we're really trying to infuse that, if you can tell, at every level in every space, which, you know, I think sets Lyra apart in that way. But yeah, those are some of the things we're doing. I care deeply about this. Yeah. So.
It's clear. Yeah. And I can see that Lyra is the word that keeps coming up for me is just really intentional about the work that you all are doing. So with that being said, what type of therapist aligns best with your mission? You know, when you all are going through the selection process, because of course you have to apply to be part of the network, what type of therapist is the best fit for Lyra?
Yeah, I think one is that to this point about just like, do you care about like this mission? Like, are you truly invested in the mission of Lyra of like creating access to care for all people? So I would probably say that having a value alignment is probably one of the most important things, because I think that that's something that you can't pretend and you can't fake that. It's something that I think we could probably pick up on, right? Is like, we're getting a sense of like, does the person actually care about our mission, or is it that you just come into Lyra for other things that you are great, like, yes, and important, right? But it's like, I think we also want to be mindful about like, this is the kind of care that we want to give to our clients. These are the kind of folks we want in our network. And so I think it's important that there's a value alignment there. So that's values. And then I think just in terms of the legit and like the mechanics of things is kind of what I think about in terms of therapy. It's like, yes, you know, Lyra absolutely is a company that focuses on evidence-based therapies and also evidence-based practice, which I think is something that is in some ways the same, but also more dynamic and more complex. It takes in different information if we look at evidence-based practice. So evidence-based therapies are just one component of evidence-based practice. So if you are a therapist who, yes, appreciates evidence-based therapies and knows why that is important, but can also be flexible in terms of your own clinical expertise and what the client characteristics are bringing into the room and how you can have those three things come together to make a unique experience for the client. Mm-hmm. So I think that those are the most important things. And so are you a therapist that really values that and can think that way and sees therapy in that way? I would probably say that like those are probably the two main things, because I think within the evidence-based practice and taking in client characteristic, that also means that like you have an appreciation for cultural humility. You know, you understand that you have an understanding of the ways in which therapy is and can be a microcosm of the larger world. Mm-hmm. And because you get that, you can be intentional about how you do your interventions and how you don't create the same oppression that someone is dealing with outside of therapy in therapy. Yeah. I would say that those are probably like the two main things, value alignment, mm-hmm. and then, you know, an appreciation in a real way for evidence-based practice.
Okay. I love that, because it's so refreshing to hear that yes, keep in mind all of these things, everything that you're taught, the evidence-based practices, and also understanding that we want to make sure that that is what the client also needs, and you using the word of giving them a unique experience. Yeah, I think that is incredibly refreshing, because as therapists, we understand that. So many of us understand that, but we don't always get that reinforcement from somebody that's out of the field. And mm-hmm. I love it too, because it's like, okay, are your values aligned with what it is that our values are, or are you just here for these great CEs?
Mm-hmm. What are you trying to get out of
this? All we're trying to do.
That's
not what we're
trying
to do.
No, no.
Love it.
Yeah. It's so I did want to share a little bit about like how I ended up at Lyra. As I stated, like I've been in private practice for technically like 9 years, 8 or 9 years. Basically since I became licensed, or when I was an intern, I was already doing private practice. And so I've had like a lot of different like experiences as far as like, you know, doing contract work to supplement, you know, when you don't have as busy of a practice. And I actually had applied for EAPs like years and years ago when I was transitioning to Houston from my previous location. And so I was worried about getting clients, things like that. And the experience was just different. I applied for two. And the experience of applying with Lyra is completely different. So I found out by Lyra because she's one of my closest friends, but she's also a therapist, is in the network. And then I had also been seeing like in some of the Facebook groups, people talking about, well, have y'all heard of Lyra? Have y'all heard of Lyra? And so my friend was like, you really should apply. You know, it's a really good company, and they seem to really care, and they give, she just kind of talked about like the logistics, like they give more sessions than most EAPs, they pay better than most EAPs, which is of course a concern when you're in private practice and trying to figure out how to fill up these slots in your schedule. And she was like, it's easy, it's seamless. And one of the things that I liked the most once I went ahead and decided to apply was, one, it's not a you apply and you're in the network. Like, that's not how that works at all. It typically takes a little bit of time where you're like, I wonder if I made it. And then you get an interview, which they actually call you, and you have to do a full interview. With the other EAPs that I signed for, it was sending your paperwork and you're done. So when you say that you're looking for someone that's truly a fit and has the same values, like, y'all prove it. Because it's like, no, we need to talk to you. And I see on your online profiles, you're saying this. What does this mean for you? What are the, you know, you say you use these modalities. How do you use those modalities? You know, so it truly is like, we're not just going to take everyone into the network because we value the people we're helping, but we also value the providers that we're bringing in. And so we want to make sure that everybody's having a good experience. And so since then I was able to get in, and I was, you know, excited or whatever. And since then I've, you know, had the stream of referrals, as well as I even noticed around the time of like George Floyd and things like that, the emails that we would get just checking in on the providers and making sure we're good, like, which is unheard of. Like, typically if you're thinking about being on an insurance panel, if you're thinking about other APs, just kind of like, you're just a number, like you said, like, and so I see it in the way that you communicate with the providers. And I see the importance of making sure that the providers feel like this is a network and they feel included, but also making sure that their clients are taken care of. And so it's been a completely positive experience. I've referred several therapists to Lyra, even when we did, I did a webinar for Melanin and Mental Health about being a dope therapist and a dope entrepreneur. And I mentioned Lyra, As one of the, like, if you're looking for a way to kind of get some referrals, this is a good option if you don't want to do the insurance route, you know? So I'm definitely an advocate. If you are looking to sign up, we're going to have links for you to be able to sign up and apply to be in the network. Again, it's an exclusive, no, I'm just playing. but no, just, and this is me just, this is my experience. Like, even when we spoke to her the first time, they didn't even know I was one of the providers. I was just like, oh yeah, I'm one of y'all's providers, just so y'all know. And I love it. So this is just my own experience with it. And so I would love, you know, I think it's really important for y'all to just check it out, you know, research it, ask other people that are providers for Lyra, what their experiences are. I doubt you have a lot of negative. I can't even imagine what the negative stories will be, but I'm sure you'll hear a lot of positive from it. So that's my story.
Yes. And thank you for sharing that story. And like, I'm so glad that you had a positive experience. My hope is that, yes, that is the case for most of our providers. And also, I think what I also appreciate about Lyra is that the recognition that, like, we still have a lot of work to do. So by no means is this where we're going to stop. So I'm glad that, like, the progress that we've made has been beneficial. But, like, I also just want to reassure people that, like, we are very aware of our areas for growth, and we're dedicated, I think, to really working on those continuously. So
we have one more, well, two more, but the final question, why do you think therapy is dope?
Yeah, I love this question, by the way. I think therapy is dope because one of the first, I remember my first class in grad school, and they were kind of asking us, like, you know, what do you think therapy is, whatever? And so I just always keep coming back to that. I'm like, how, when you think about it, and I can get kind of like far out with this, but like, just stay with me. what I think is so dope about it is, like, how amazing is it that two humans get to come together in a space, and maybe more than just two humans, but humans get to come together in a space and, like, collaboratively create a healing process that is bi-directional. I think that for me, that's why it's so dope. I don't know. I think the only other fields that maybe do that may sometimes be some fields in medicine where, like, there's a lot, maybe, like, fields that require, like, a lot of touch, human touch, and a lot of, like, but I think that therapy does it in a way that is so different and so intentional, mm-hmm. that really is the goal. Like, the goal isn't literally just, I want to heal your arm because you broke it. Like, that's not necessarily the goal. The goal is, like, much deeper than that. And I don't know. I just think that is, that's dope.
Yeah. I love that answer. I think that's the first time I was like, that's one of the best answers we've ever heard. Yes, indeed.
That was great. So can you talk a little bit more about, like, how do people learn more about Lyra? How do they, if they want to keep in touch with you, how do they find you? How do they follow all those things?
Oh, wow. Yeah. So
because you're dope. Like, one of my questions is, like, why are you a dope therapist? And I wanted to ask that so bad, but, you know, listen to the episode. We got it.
I'll be honest, y'all. I'm, like, so new to this, like social media space. Like, I think there was, like, a period of time where I didn't have social media for, like, a few years. I'm definitely on LinkedIn, though. I have gotten around to that, so I've done that. I'm on LinkedIn, so I can definitely put the sense in that, and have that be in the notes as well. But so you can definitely connect with me on LinkedIn. I do have a website as well, but through Lyra, the best way is to just usually go to our website, and Lyra has, like, a contact form that you can fill out. So if you need to reach me specifically for any reason, you can just, like, put my name in there, and that'll kind of make its way to me. I usually don't put my, like, Lyra email out there, but yeah, those are the ways to kind of, one, get in contact with Lyra. Lyra has their own website that you can do that. Then also, like, if you just want to follow me or check out what I do outside of Lyra, like, I have a website and LinkedIn. So,
okay. Yeah. We'll make sure to have all that linked, as well as all of the Lyra social media. So if you're on a website, just go to show links on the side and it'll all be there. We really appreciate you. This is dope. And this was This is really, really good.
This is so good because it was about more than EAPs. It really is about what we've been talking about. We want to heal our communities. We want to get them access. to the type of support that they need, the type of therapist that they're looking for. So I am so grateful that we had this conversation. And I would say there, you know, we're in those therapist Facebook groups and people are regularly asking about Lyra and talking about the great experiences that they have. So I can't wait for this to come out. And I'll be like, check out this podcast and you'll have everything you need to know.
Yes. Oh, and I just thought about it too. Another way you can go through the Lyra contact, but also, you know, maybe a more direct way, specifically if you are a provider of color and you really are interested in working with Lyra, you might have some questions. I would email provider.diversity@lyrahealth.com. Or you can email LyraAmbassador@lyrahealth.com.
Excellent. Be ready for the emails to start coming through.
I'm excited. I can't wait to like virtually meet everybody out there who hasn't connected with us yet. So I'm excited to meet you. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to everyone for listening. Make sure you follow Melanin and Mental Health across social media at Melanin and Mental Health or Melanin Health on Twitter. Also head over to melaninandmentalhealth.com to check out our brand new website, which we'll be talking about more about later, but we do have a brand new website. And if you want to find a dope therapist, make sure you search there. Looking for our previous podcast, that's there as well as our dope merchandise. So we will make sure to talk to you next week. Have a good day.
Bye. Bye, y'all.